The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're back. Second half of the show, and we'll talk about the Mike Leach tweet comparing the winner of the Kentucky Derby to expanding the college football playoff. You will not want to miss that. Hugh, in Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Hugh.
You know, my former home is Lexington, Kentucky, and my oldest brother was pretty closely associated with the horse business. And he talked a lot about the greatest horse race, the greatest competition in thoroughbred racing in the three-year-old bracket was between Ali Dar and the Firm 44 years ago.
Right.
Here's the thing you need to understand about a claiming race. That is a very valuable tool to horsemen who have a horse that they want to enter into a stakes race, but make sure somebody's not dropping down in class and going to steal one.
Okay.
So they set a price on every horse that's in there that's set by the race officials. In this case, it was $30,000 for a two-year-old out of Calumet Farm. That's about 15 miles from where the winning trainer lived.
Right.
Calumet Farm is infamous for the number of broodmares and studs they have. They have a ton of great horses.
Hey, Calumet, is that the one that you see when you land at Lexington?
Oh, yeah, the white fences and the red top barns. It's historically a great farm. Now, here's the deal. You got to understand that the Kentucky Derby are running horses that just turned 3 years old. Now, a horse has productive years racing till they're 10 or 11. But in order to get the productive value at stud, the biggest race they run is when they are just turned 3 years old, 1,000 days old. And here's the crazy thing about it. That would be like taking 15- and 16-year-olds and playing the Super Bowl. But that is the nature of it. And the thing is, you don't know the horse that's going to have the legs that can make it a mile and a quarter and a mile and a half, because the biggest majority of races they run early on as two-year-olds and the early three-year-old races are less than a mile. They're at like the Heedley course at Keeneland that was like three-quarters of a mile. So the big sale where the million-dollar horses sell, they sell with great lineage, like Bull Lee was the greatest stud that ever stood at the Hancock Farm. So, and the thing you must remember, and the reason I raised Ali Dar and affirmed, Ali Dar ran within a whisker but lost every race of the Triple Crown to affirmed. But when they went to stud, Ali Dar blew away affirmed. It's kind of like Secretariat.
Yeah, I remember
great
that.
Great racehorse, but not much of a papa.
That was 78. Well, is there any doubt that the Ali Dar would have won any other year? Probably been the
coach. No, well, probably would have, but affirmed was just that much better of a racehorse. He just wasn't a good stud.
Well, that happened.
And that's the weird thing. And see, Ali Dar was a Calumet horse. Stood at stud, and that's a whole different story, which I'll talk to you about off of the phone someday.
I want to hear that.
When Ms. Markey died, her nephew took over, and that was a disaster, and I think Calumet's under different ownership now. But the bottom line is, the winning trainer told the owner, he said, I know that horse, I've seen it run, I've had a stopwatch on it, it's got legs, we can win with that horse. The jockey that rode it was riding in junk races in Ohio. First time he'd ever been in the Derby.
Wow.
But the old boy, the trainer that talked the owner into putting up the 30 grand and claiming that horse, keep in mind, Paul, you got to claim it before the race is run. They did. They got the horse last fall at Keeneland. It came from Calumet. That old boy knew it was a good horse. Now you say, well, why in hell would Calumet put a horse up for $30,000 that has the kind of speed to win? When you got the number of unproven mares and studs that they've got. They knew they had a great horse, but they had to get it in the hands of a good trainer and have it win. Now, you tell me what that stud and mare worth to Calumet today since their progeny won $1,800,000.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good.
That's the story, Paul, and I thought I'd share that with you just to clear the air.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I used to cover thoroughbred racing, so I've seen the sunrise at many of stables, including Churchill Downs. It's quite extraordinary. But I've never heard stud described quite like Hugh did from Deep Gap. Did you know all that?
No.
David is up next in Ohio. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Born May 8th, 1950 in Berry, Alabama, left in 68. I was just calling about the gentleman who bashed Ohio Friday. He said J.D., he was from Florida, I believe. And
right.
He was talking about the only thing he know is J.D. Vance.
Right.
Ohio is the birthplace of aviation. We've had two astronauts, John Glenn. He first to go around the moon.
Earth.
Not the Earth. And Neil Armstrong from Wapapaneta, he walked on the moon.
First man.
Ohio is second to Virginia in producing presidents.
Yeah.
Virginia has 11. Ohio has 8. And we have all kinds of pro sports. He's never heard of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm not sure I've ever heard of that.
Cedar Point is the number one amusement park.
No.
And I was just calling in to kind of, let him know he should come to Ohio. He'll be surprised.
Well, David, you live in Columbus, which, of course, is the capital. And
right.
I've been to Ohio a number of times. It's a nice state.
And pro football was started in Canton, Ohio. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is up there.
Sure was. But,
so I don't know.
Where did you grow up in Alabama?
A little place called Berry. It's about an hour from Birmingham, northwest. And it made USA Today. They had coal mines, but they shut the coal mine down. It topped out about 1,200 people. It's a small town.
I know the direction.
I grew up an Auburn fan.
Okay. Well, listen.
But my brother went to University of Alabama, and I eventually ended up being a Alabama fan when they play Auburn. We went to the last two Iron Bowls in Birmingham.
That would have been, the early 90s.
Right. That good team with that went and beat Miami.
Yeah,
they beat
that was,
Auburn 17-0.
The 92 game, that was the famous interception, Antonio Langham.
Right, Langham was his name, Antonio Langham. He did one against Florida later on in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, that was Pat Dye's last game, the one you're talking about.
Exactly, and Gene Stallings.
That is correct.
He was a good defensive man, but he had a brother Oliver was coaching those defenses.
Yeah, he was.
And
he would still
be there if he had opened up that offense.
Brother was the Gene. Coach Stallings' offensive teams left a lot to be desired. David, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. A good report there on Ohio. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about moving there after that call, especially so I can take all my friends to Cedartown, the amusement park. We'll take a short break. Michael Bratton, he'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and I can't wait to talk to our next guest who's had an opinion on this that thing we're about to show you. It's a tweet by Mike Leach. Yes, you may remember. He is still the coach at Mississippi State. And he tweeted over the weekend about that winning horse. This is what he said. That horse winning the Kentucky Derby today is a good example of why an expanded college football playoff is needed. The horse hadn't won all the races leading up, but it got the chance. And that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, there's no rules about tweeting. You don't have to be, well, you don't have to show any signs of sobriety or anything else. Michael Bratton joining us from the SEC podcast. Michael, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but let's start with Mike Leach. Can you enlighten the rest of us on what in the world he was talking about?
Yeah, Paul, I got to be honest. This is the first time I've ever heard of a college coach, a conference commissioner. I mean, anybody associated with college football wanting college football to be more like horse racing, because last time I checked, there's about two or three horse races that I can, your average fan can even name. And, if that's what we want college football to be, two or three events a year, I say we go for Mike Leach's idea. He's been a proponent of the 64-team playoff format, and that would take what we all love about college football, the regular season, what makes it unique, what makes it stand apart from the rest of all of sports, not only in America. And I couldn't be more opposed to what he had to offer up.
Yeah, I'm not even sure last year Leach would have gotten in with a 64-team playoff. But the point is, there is a playoff, and you know what I'm about to say. It's called the season. And if you win enough games during the regular season, you play for the SEC championship, which gets you into the playoffs. And last year, two teams got in. So, I can't remember what Leach's record was. And I know it wasn't a winning record. So what's his point?
Well, I think a guy like him, this is – you kind of hit the nail on the head, Paul. I mean, the only chance he's ever going to get in to a college football playoff is if we have 40 or 50 or 60 teams in there, because – he's not, he's a heck of a coach. I don't want to diminish what he's done in his career, but he's not known for maybe one time having a top five team, and they didn't even make the BCS back then. So I think this is the Leach's only outlet to get into a field like this. The only argument you can make is if we want to have everybody, let's give them all a shot, and let's do away with all these great rivalries. I can't tell you how many times, Paul, I tweet about Tennessee and I get Kentucky fans coming at me, or vice versa. I mean, these games matter in the SEC. Even teams that don't win the SEC, don't win the college football playoff, these regular season games mean more than anything else. And I am totally opposed to blowing that up.
And just for the record, Mississippi State did have a winning record last year. They were 7-6. So I don't want everybody to come after me and say I was just kidding. Leach at Mississippi State's gone 11-13, and hopefully they'll be better. I mean, he's got a really good quarterback, but that's not really why you're here. I want to talk to you in addition to Mike Leach just about, what does a guy like you do during this time of the year when we are obsessing over NIL? And I have to say, there's a point where there's nothing more to say. But at this time of the year, normally, Michael, people are going over matchups, going over weeks of the schedule. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? I'm assuming that you're probably going down that road because it's probably more beneficial to what you do.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. I mean, if I have to hear NIL one more time, that's probably your next question, but I may throw up in my seat here. So, you know, I love to look at over-unders, gambling, things of that nature. They just put out division odds for the SEC East, SEC West, of course, and they put out championship odds for the SEC. So it's a lot of breaking down the schedule, and like Spurrier said, this is talking season. So guys like me got to come up with creative ways to talk about college football. And again, if these games didn't matter, if we were just going 64-team playoff, I don't think anybody cares about Kentucky's got to go into Neyland Stadium this year. Georgia's got to go into Lexington this year, because who cares about those results if everybody and their mother's getting into the playoff field? You know, we'll just have 12 exhibition games, and then we'll see what's what in January. We already got 15 games for the teams that make to the national championship. And last time I checked, these players that go all the way to the title game, they said, you know, I'm throwing in the towel. I couldn't play another game. So that, again, going back to what I said, the regular season matters more than anything in college football, and I just don't want to see that tarnished.
Michael, let's talk about some of the things that are most intriguing that you hear about. And I know there's so many obvious stories, but take us into what fans are most interested in relation to the 2022 season.
Well, I think everybody, maybe even your casual college football fan, just didn't realize how much talent that Georgia had until the NFL draft came and went. 15 players selected, not even in seven rounds, in six rounds, Paul. So the Georgia Bulldogs, you know, I know they're loaded. They do as well as anybody in recruiting annually, but it's going to be incredibly difficult to replace 15 players that went in the NFL draft. And Georgia at this point in time has not been raiding the transfer portal like some of these other teams. So I think all of a sudden, you know, if you're a South Carolina fan who hosts Georgia week three of the season, Tennessee fan, if you're a Kentucky fan, like I said, you get the Bulldogs in Lexington. I think if you're in the East, all of a sudden you're saying, maybe we got more of a shot than we thought to knock off the Georgia Bulldogs, because who knows? You know, Kirby Smart, given the fact that we all know his past with with Nick Saban, he's going to be locked in. But how are these players going to handle an offseason of being the champs and everybody buying their meals and buying their drinks? I think there's a chance that Georgia doesn't dominate the East like some anticipate they will. And then in the West, it's when is A&M going to rise? Is this the year? I'm not ready to write off Arkansas. Who knows what in the world we're getting with Lane Kiffin and Brian Kelly down there in Death Valley. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for teams in the West to pull a stunner as well, because thanks to this transfer portal, thanks to NIL, I think, as I said last time I was on your show, I think it elevates the teams in the mid-tier of the SEC and gives them an opportunity to surprise in the fall.
I'm not looking for – well, I actually am. So give me something give me a statement or a take that will surprise the audience the most. If you had to zero in on one outcome of the upcoming college football season that will have people going, whoa, I wasn't expecting that, what would it be?
Well, the one that I keep circling, I keep throwing out there, and I'm catching a lot of heat for it, Paul, and I think that's why you like having me on your show, for all the heat. But how about this one? South Carolina knocking off the Georgia Bulldogs week three of the season.
No.
In Columbia, South Carolina.
You can't say that on this program. We're on the Georgia Bulldog bandwagon. So you're calling it right here. And I know I'm sounding like the typical anchor here at the local news station. You mean you're calling South Carolina to beat Georgia right now, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking a team here that started literally a coach at starting quarterback last season, yet they managed to make the postseason in Shane Beamer's first year and win North Carolina. I mean, no one expected them to beat North Carolina in that bowl game, myself included. They trashed Mack Brown's Tar Heel team. So I think you're getting a significant upgrade at the quarterback position. You've upgraded your weapons at running back and receiver. And Clayton White's defense was one of the biggest surprises in the SEC last season. So, I certainly think South Carolina's got an outstanding opportunity to shock the world here come week three of the season.
Well, I asked and you delivered, so I have to give you credit. And it would be it would simply be inappropriate for me to ask for a second headline, wouldn't it?
Well, how about this? When Arkansas hosts Alabama, I'm not going to outright predict the upset. I think it's been about 14, 15 years since the Razorbacks have won that game. But I think College Game Day will be in town. I think that'll be a top five showdown. I think it's going to be undefeated Alabama versus undefeated Arkansas. And I think this is going to be the best shot yet that the Razorbacks have of knocking off the mighty Crimson Tide.
So you're going with Arkansas to have a shot against Alabama. And by the way, I don't blame you. I mean, that's a they have played one or two close games. Last year was pretty close. Came down to the onside kick. There was a 1-point game about 7 or 8 years ago, but mostly that has been a blowout. Overall, as you're calling Arkansas to rise, you obviously like South Carolina. You mentioned Georgia struggling. Who will be their greatest threat? And I know you called the upset, but when the season comes down to its final 2 or 3 weeks, who will be vying with Georgia for the SEC East crown?
You know, I think it's going to be Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Vols with that offense going into year two. Everything they're bringing back with Hendon Hooker, with 4 or 5 on the offensive line, with Cedric Tillman, who may be the best receiver in the SEC. And they're bringing in Brew McCoy from Southern Cal. They're after more receivers there to help Josh Heupel's offense in year two. I just think the offense is going to explode. Now, the defense, it's not going to be up to SEC caliber when we're talking the nation's elite here. But if they can outscore a team like the Georgia Bulldogs with Stetson Bennett, I think they have a real opportunity. I'd like to throw Kentucky into that mix, but they're going at Florida, at Tennessee, and then, of course, hosting Georgia, like I said. So that may be a little bit too much for Kentucky to get over that hill. So I have to go Tennessee, I think, is going to be the best shot at knocking off the Georgia Bulldogs in the East this season.
Wow, what an incredible conversation with Michael Bratton from that SEC podcast. Calling the big upset in Columbia, Georgia, going down to the Gamecocks, and a couple of other close calls. Michael, we really had a great time talking to you. You be well. Come back soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Thank you very much. So that's what you heard. Georgia fans, how do you like them apples? Woo! You're going down to the Gamecocks, according to that guy. We're coming right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back to the calls, and Shane is up next in Georgia. Hello, Shane.
Hey, Paul, how are you, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just want to respond to the gentleman you had on. I'm not going to come on your show and just blast him. I'm a Georgia fan, but I'm also a realistic Georgia fan. The points that he made were valid. You know, it's going to be extremely difficult for any team to lose the amount of talent that Georgia lost to the draft. And then go through the off season of, he was right. You know, he's right in what he's saying as far as it's going to be very difficult. But the amount of talent that we have coming back, it's not only the level of talent. A lot of those guys got to see the field last year. You know, as Kirby's very good about that. I would be shocked to see Georgia lose to South Carolina. I just don't see. They have a great quarterback coming in, yes, but they're just not ready from a defensive standpoint to see what Georgia's going to bring to the field next year. Now, I do think it's a possibility that, you know, Georgia going, playing Tennessee, playing at Kentucky, you know, even playing, I don't think it's going to be a walkover for these teams. I don't think it's going to be that. And I do think it's a possibility that Georgia could lose to Tennessee, Kentucky, possibly South Carolina, but I would be shocked if they did. But I wouldn't be shocked to see them have one loss. But I think by the time we get to the end of the season next year, if Georgia can make it through the regular season with just the one loss, I think you're going to see that team, as young as they are and as talented and loaded as they are, they're going to come together, have developed the whole through the season. And I think they're going to get, I think it's going to be Alabama and Georgia right back there again in the SEC championship game. Now, who knows what happens in that game?
Hey, Shane, appreciate your call. I think we certainly understand where you're coming from there. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well.
Hey, your last guess, you know, everyone's entitled to an opinion. Certainly had no problem with him picking his own opinion. But my thoughts is very simple, is that Georgia's not going to lose to South Carolina. That's just not going to happen. And Arkansas is not going to even have a chance against Alabama. It'll be Georgia and Alabama again end of the season. What they need to pay more attention to is Georgia's offense this year. And that defense going three deep last season, the defense will be fine. They'll give up a little bit more points, but Georgia will be fine. It'll be Georgia, Alabama again in the SEC championship. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Let's check in with Will, who is in Atlanta. Hello, Will. Go right ahead. Will, you there?
Hey, yes, I'm here. Appreciate you taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
First of all, I can't believe that delusional South Carolina fan, but we won't even address that. Anyways, I'm sitting around with three of my buddies right now, and we're about to graduate. We're seniors at UGA. We're graduating this Friday, and I'd like to formally extend an invite to you to come on up. We'll take you around town. We'll give you some O-bombs, some rum and coke, whatever you want, and we'd like to have you at our graduation, Paul.
Wow.
Hey, Paul, and also, Paul, this is Thomas. Yeah, I just want to say, you know, you are one of the wisest guys I listen to on television, which is, you know, I don't listen to a lot of people on television, but you're great. I was wondering if you had any, you know, graduation advice to extend to us as well.
Sure. Let me do this like an adult, even though I'm thinking about becoming a college student Friday afternoon. What are you guys, what is your degree going to be in?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We got a mix. We got a business. We got political science.
Accounting.
We got accounting. We're a mixed bag, Paul.
Okay, business, political science, and accounting. The business and accounting. Do any of you have jobs yet?
Yeah,
we all have jobs. Yes, sir.
Well, that is. I'm curious because I majored in political science. What is your job in? Because I never could find one.
Well, one of our buddies working in the bank in New York for J.P. Morgan. But
Anyways,
that's besides the point.
Forget the serious stuff. You've had enough counseling in your life. What time is graduation?
7:30 on Friday afternoon. We'd like to see you there.
Did you say 7:30 Friday afternoon?
7:30 Friday afternoon. We'd like to take you around town. Woodford, Silver, you name the bar, we'll take you there, Paul.
Okay. By the way, I'm very tempted to do this. There's nothing.
Well, listen, the guy who you're speaking to is from Charlotte, so I can. Let's link up numbers and we'll get you down here and we'll show you the best time you've ever had in college, Paul. I promise you that. This is way more fun than Knoxville. I promise you that, Paul.
I agree. I've been to Athens many times. I love Athens. It is. You don't need me to tell you how great it is there. So, you know, this is the part of the show. I'm going to act like I'm seriously thinking about it, even though I've already made up the decision. Are you going?
I'm going.
Okay. You guys, hold tight. Is there a meeting place you want? Why don't we just come by the graduation and catch you afterwards? How about that?
That sounds great. You talk to your producer. We want your producer there. Whoever you're talking to, we want him there. We want you there.
It's funny you mentioned that. One of the producers of the show today is a UGA graduate from a couple of years ago. So.
Wow. Well, we'll get him here. And
Jamari,
the guy you're talking
you
to
like
is actually
to
good
too?
Buddies with. I'm good buddies with Roman Harper. So I'll text Roman. I'll get your number.
We will meet you.
We'll get you and Roman
we'll meet
Harper
you at Tate Center or something like that. The student
perfect.
Center.
Perfect.
I've been to the student
center.
We'll see
center. You on Friday. Oh, I'm going to text Roman. I'm going to get Roman and you up here on Friday afternoon.
Okay. Well, forget I don't care about Roman, but count me in, okay?
Sounds good. We'll see you on Friday, Paul.
You talk about a movie in the making. Back to school, part
10 with Five Mom and Cruz.
We are heading to Athens for graduation on Friday. I can't think of anything, any place I'd rather be on a gorgeous spring afternoon than Athens, Georgia. Now, I do need to wear a disguise, though. So the graduation is at Samford. Inside. Should I wear a jersey? No, I'm not. I should wear a Georgia jersey. Well, Jamari, which player should I wear the jersey from? Jordan Davis jersey?
Sounds good.
I'm not wearing a Stetson Bennett jersey. Yeah, I don't know. I want somebody who's gone. I don't want to get caught up. Yeah, anyway, is Nick Chubb... will he get money for the jersey? I want to make sure he's finally paid what he's owed. And Todd Gurley will. I'm donating to Todd Gurley as well. I like that. That should be a lot of fun. How about Christopher in Birmingham? Hello, Christopher. Hello, Christopher.
Paul, Christopher here. As a journalist, you more than anybody know there's two sides to every story and the truth. Correct.
I'm listening.
You also still believe in the First Amendment right of free speech, correct?
I think my record's pretty good on that.
Well, Paul, I would like 30 seconds to make a PSA that's not bought and paid for by Big Pharma or big government. And one of the things that bothers me, how you journalists are not talking about this, that 400 athletes have now dropped dead within a few days of taking this bioweapon on the playing field. And I believe that there will be an athlete in the NFL or the USFL or the NCAA that is going to drop dead. Not even just one athlete. I'm willing to bet that it'd be over five, because we know the number one cause when somebody takes this bioweapon is myocarditis, blood clotting, and death. Well, why are y'all not talking about this, Paul? Does this not concern you at all?
We will come right back after this message.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Dexter is up next. Good afternoon, Dexter.
How are you doing, Paul?
Dexter, we are doing great. Thank you.
My name is Dexter Hickton. I was calling, you know, about the football players in the South, black football players.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm an Alabama diehard fan, you know, and I was talking to one of my friends, and he said, Alabama didn't have white kids in Alabama because they didn't have black players. And I said, well, is that the only team, you know, Alabama was the only black team, the only team didn't have black players, I mean, college? And he said, no. And I wanted to ask you, was Alabama the only team having that problem South?
No, absolutely not. There were, I think, Tennessee and Kentucky and Vanderbilt were probably the leaders. Florida may have been a little bit ahead. But Alabama was in a boat with – they had a lot of company, let me put it that way.
Yeah, but, you know, when I played football and we had – and David Cutcliffe was my head coach.
Oh, sure.
Coach for Duke.
Right.
And – We wanted about three black players on the team when I played high school, and all we wanted to do was win. We didn't see cover. We just seen winning, getting a W.
You know, Dexter, I've talked to a lot of players who were part of that group when you were coming out, and you're right. I think too many other people got involved, and the politics of that moment were absolutely untenable, but the players on the team that were integrated first all have a similar story to what you've said.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, Carl, you know, the white players, like, they've been playing, like, since they were 6 and 7 years old, you know, little league.
Sure,
and when
absolutely.
We got to high school, we didn't really know nothing about that. But, you know, those guys, try to step in and teach us what they know more than the coaches
did. Dexter, where did you play high school football?
Banks High School.
Oh, Banks. Okay.
The one Jeff Rellis went to.
Oh, sure. And Coach Rutt, Coach Cutcliffe was the coach there.
David Cutcliffe was the head coach at Banks High School.
He was a good coach, too.
He coached Duke now. He didn't see Cole or nothing. He wanted to win. You know what I'm saying?
What years were you there? When did you get out of high school?
I graduated in 80.
So you basically, things had quieted down significantly by the time you started high school.
Yeah, I caught the tail end of it. Ku Klux with Margin, they didn't want the blacks to play and all that. Well, I caught the tail end there, but we had the white players was great, man. I'm talking about when we need a ride home, they'd give us a ride home. And all their parents will take us home, and our parents, they working, you know, because it wasn't up but a handful of blacks, you know, playing for Banks. But I say, those guys, they didn't see color. They seen winning, and Absolutely. They wanted to win.
Dexter, thank you very much for sharing that story. It's really quite amazing. 42 years ago, what was going on in Alabama and elsewhere. You be well. Thanks so much. Legend is up next.
Woo! Black hat, baby. Black hat. Hey, Paul, who's this idiot you had on talking about South Carolina going to beat Georgia?
That was Michael Bratton.
Why you let these morons on, man? Woo! I'm not even a Georgia fan, but come on, man. Carter, Smith, Ringo. All three of them guys are in the top 15 of the draft next year. I don't care what kind of rattlesnake South Carolina got. They ain't going to be able to deal with that defense. I can promise you that. That's just football stupidity, Paul. You need to start sending your wholesome football for dummies book and let them read them a little bit before they come on the air. I mean, we've been roasting Arkansas's ass for the last 15 years. Arkansas, I mean, that's just a meal to us, Paul. That ain't nothing. Come on, man. Woo! I mean, come on, man. How about a nice big cup? I'm shut the hell up, dude. I mean, that's pathetic. You got to do better than that, man. Come on, that's pathetic. Hey, Paul, I heard they named my championship trophy after Jim.
That's right.
What the hell is going on, Paul? What the hell, man? I beat that dude by 8,000 votes, and he gets the trophy named after him. I mean, come on, man. I mean, we got to do better than that. I mean, him and the Kentucky Derby winner got something in common. They shouldn't have their name on a championship trophy at all. Woo, that's pathetic, Paul. That's friggin' pathetic. That dude is faker than Kim Kardashian's ass, Paul. That dude is faker than Kim Kardashian's ass, as Larry from Missouri would say. He's got a helium brain, just like Kim Kardashian has a helium ass, Paul. That dude is a fake, Paul. That trophy should have Tammy's name on it, or it should have Shane's name on it. It shouldn't have no moron that's never won a title, ain't never going to win a title. Like Michael Jordan said, some people want it to happen. Some people wish it to happen. People like Legend make it happen, baby. Woo! I eat lightning and crap thunder. This moron got his name on a trophy. He don't belong on no trophy that's got my name on it. I want it off there today as the champion of the Fine Bomb Show. This is post-Kubiak time, and Kubiak's gone, so what he wanted on that trophy ought to be taken off, baby. Don't hate, dominate. That's my motto, baby. Woo! Now listen here. Arkansas fans, if you think you're going to beat Alabama, you are friggin' delusional. And South Carolina, you are a middle-of-pack team. You will not beat Georgia. That moron is crazy. Woo! Don't hate, dominate. Legend out.
We are coming right back for one more Sapien Hour.